Hey everybody, I'm Chris.
I'm Steven.
We like board games.
And beer.
We decided to pair them. We think you should too. Welcome to
Table Hops.
So, before we bring our guest on today, we're going to talk about beer and board game news.
Hold on. I think, first of all.
Okay. Oh, the challenge. I was going to bypass the challenge.
I think our listeners really need an update. They really deserve an update as to what happened.
What do you mean what happened?
With your challenge.
Oh, I totally failed it.
Again?
I've been carrying this thing around with me, dude. I've been carrying it around with me. But no one's down. You know, it's just no one's down to play, buddy.
I just don't think anyone likes you.
I think that's a big part of it. These challenges are quite tough when people don't like you.
I have no problem getting four people together to play a game.
Well, good for you, Steven. Good for you. Maybe one day when I complete my challenge, I'll challenge you to get an 18-player volleyball game going. We'll see how that goes.
What does that do with board games?
It can be a board game version of volleyball. They should make a board game version of the erotic volleyball scene from Top Gun. That would sell.
What would be the board game aspect?
You just try and seduce men with your volleyball skills. Just like that other game with the fish.
So Uwe is going to design a Top Gun game.
And that's our big story of the day. So I was hoping that there would be Metal Gear Solid footage, but it got postponed till next week. Everyone's been complaining about the price tag. I agree with that.
Yeah, $140 is tough.
Yeah, and then I looked at the minis and nothing special to me.
Right. Right.
The other thing I noticed is the original artist, I forgot his name, I can't pronounce it anyway, he's not the artist of the game. They hired two other guys that like mimic his style.
Right.
And it just does not look as good.
Who's doing that again? Emerson Matsuchi, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
IDW
Publishing. Yeah.
You know what that stands for?
No.
Inside Doors Within.
Oh, I thought you were...
I was going to go full dirty, but I remember PG-13. Inside Donkey Wieners.
Wow.
That's where I was thinking.
Idea and Design Works.
Oh. That sounds like it could literally be anything. Any company could be called that.
Well, yeah. I mean, as long as you're an idea.
Yeah. You could be a milk company.
A milk company?
Yeah. Come up with new flavors of milk. Orange milk. You can't milk an orange.
Oh, you're saying... Oh, that's strange. I thought you were saying, like, adding the flavor orange to milk, and I could get down with that, but you're saying, like, milking other objects.
Well, I mean, it could be a combo. Because it worked with, what is it, creamsicles. You can have, like, a creamsicle beverage. There are creamsicle beers.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like that type of flavor, so...
You don't like dreamsicle?
No, I don't like anything sherbet-ish. Sherbet.
We can't be friends anymore.
Yeah, fruity things I'm not a big fan of.
Hmm.
Well...
What's happening in the beer world?
The big news for people that are in the industry is that whole tax break for brewers and alcoholic beverage people that went through legislation. But I don't know how the government works. I just know there's something cool going on where if you're making beer, you get a tax break. Like I said, I don't even know how to do my taxes.
Okay, so here's the deal.
Okay.
So the federal beer tax from 1991 to last year has been $18 a barrel.
Okay.
With a special lower craft beer rate of $7 on the first 60,000 barrels.
That's a lot of barrels.
$18 a barrel equated to about 58 cents for a six pack. For craft brews, it's about 30 cents a six pack. Now it's going to be from $18 to $16 for regular barrels, and then from $7 to $3.50 a barrel. So
there's a tax break.
Yeah.
Just like I said.
But
I covered it.
But the big thing is that the $16 per barrel is from 60,000 barrels to 6 million barrels.
That's a lot of barrels.
Yeah. So before the cap was at 2. And so now you can do up to 6 million at that reduced $16 rate. That's pretty good.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
For American breweries. Speaking of American beers, do you know which beer 3 years in a row was rated the highest American beer in Zinergy magazine? I wrote it down, but it auto-corrected it to surgery. Zymurgy. Z-Y-M-U-R-G-Y, which is a craft beer brewery magazine.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume it's some sort of lager.
It's not. It's not. It's a, well, it is, it is a, it's not like a crazy flavored beer. It's a very all around good beer.
What is it?
It's Bell's Two Hearted.
Wow.
3 years in a row.
Wow.
And Sierra Nevada's Pale Ale has also been in the top five for the past like 3 or 4 years in a row too.
So Zymergy is like the, they're like the baseline for that kind of stuff. Like, are they like a,
they're the, they're like the Forbes of the beer world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So high up there on the list. So very cool.
Yeah. I do have one Kickstarter I want to talk about.
Sure.
It's called Darwinauts.
Okay.
So it's a worker placement game, and you are sending your explorers out into these portals.
Okay.
And the portals, they're going out and they're researching all these new species, right? All these new animals.
Okay.
Could be new plants, stuff like that.
As Darwin did.
Right. Exactly. So they go through and they're trying to bring back resources for you. When they bring back resources, you then research how you can make these animals. So it could like be like
Jurassic Park style.
Yeah.
Oh,
but cool. The animals are crazy. It's like a hammerhead cobra. Or like a double-headed triceratops type of thing.
That's a hexatops.
So yeah, it looks pretty sweet. It's only like $35, I think.
Oh, that reminds me kind of an evolution. Wasn't that kind of like that? You're putting like animal parts, not parts, but like skills together?
Yeah, I think evolution was a little bit different, and that was much more of like a resource management type
game. Oh, I see. Okay.
And this is a like worker placement. You actually, the cool thing is that you get tiles, and you're placing the tiles to build out these portals.
Okay.
And depending on how you build them out, you might get, you know, if you connect multiple types of portals together, when you explore that portal, you might get multiple resources out of it. Like if they're connected together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
So Darwinauts by Green Couch Games. Check
Green
them out
Couch? On. I've never heard of them.
So yeah, so Green Couch Games has typically done more, it's tough to say family, but they're definitely lighter games.
They're cutesy.
Yeah, they're cutesy. They're there's a bunch of dexterity-based games in there. The big one for me was Walk on Fire. It's a dexterity, like, card-flipping game. Super cool. This is their first, like, foray into what I would consider, like, not a heavy game at all, but something in the medium spectrum. You know, okay. Something where, like, if I wanted to introduce somebody to worker placement, I might pick this up. But the cool thing is that the designer of the game, this is his first game he's ever designed, and he's spent 5 years on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah. Everyone's loving it. Everyone who's previewed it, like I've watched people play it for like hour and a half and just
sweet.
Loved it. So
are they gonna be at Gen Con, you know?
Green Couch will be. I don't know what they'll probably have some prototype of Darwinauts.
Okay.
But the Kickstarter ends like July 14th or something like
okay.
that. So the campaign will be over by that point, but they'll be there to, you know,
to show the game off.
Yeah.
Speaking of knots, I just recently played Coma Knots.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I never played Stuffed Fables, but I know it's just a reiteration of that.
The whole, like, storybook adventure, like, that's its own, like, style of
right.
game.
And yeah. Is there, besides those two, though, it's a Plaid Hat thing, right? Are there a lot of other storybook games that follow that?
No, but Plaid Hat has another one coming out. It's more of, like, storybook right. adventure is, like, a, not a mechanic, but, like, that is how they... That's
it's a presentation.
Yeah, exactly.
Presentation, yeah.
And they have the Mice and Mystics version of it
right.
coming out.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
Yeah.
So,
with post-apocalyptic mice, like,
you can't what? Say no. It's like Biker Mice from Mars, the game. Fantastic. But anyway, I really like the game. The rule book that comes with it is terrible.
Yeah.
And that's been the main complaint online. So the main thing is, like, if they've played Stuffed Fables before, they're like, okay, I kind of get where this is going. But if you haven't, then the rule book is, it's only like six pages long, mm-hmm. and it's very counterintuitive. And there's a lot of rules that are worded in a way that could be taken two different ways. And it's vague, and sometimes you're in the middle of the adventure, and you're like, I'm right. not quite sure what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
Once you get past that, then it's super fun.
And once you get past the junky rules.
The junky, and it's not like the game makes sense, but you need to sort of translate the rule book because it's very vague. And okay. the publisher, I forgot his name now, but he was saying, or the designer, I should say. The
designer's Jerry Hawthorne.
Yeah. And yeah. he said, like, I had to keep the rules pretty bare bones to avoid any kinds of spoilers, which is fair, but I feel like it still could have been worded differently.
So Time Stories did that too, right? Like Time Stories did a lot of like vague, here's how you play type of stuff. And I get in games like that where there's a story that you're going through, like you can't be like, if this scenario comes up, this is what you do.
Exactly.
But you can be very general with it. You know what I mean?
And you can to a point, like in RPGs especially, but this is still a board game.
Yeah.
And it's very dice driven. Yeah, I really like the story of the game. That's what drew me into it. And I really like the characters and the dice. It's a, I don't know if Subfable's the same way, but it's a big dice bag that you reach in and pull dice.
No, there's no dice pulling in Stuff Fables.
Oh, okay. So the way this game works is there's a whole bag of multicolored dice. They're all D6s.
Yeah.
And you draw five. And depending on what dice you do, they each do different actions.
Oh, okay.
And that's how you spend them.
Gotcha.
And there's a pool of discarded ones where you can like discard two to pick up the one you need, and you can pool dice together and stuff. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But then once learning how to play is rough.
Right.
But once you get into it, super fun. So I have not tried any of these, but these CBD beers seem to be a big thing right now.
CBD everything.
Yeah, it's all over the place. It's because it's right in that. What is it? Food and Drug Association's like, I don't really know what this is, so I guess it's cool for now.
Right.
So, like, Strange Ways did one, and then Back Bay just finished one, too. I think the Strange Ways one is non-alcoholic, if I'm remembering correctly.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, because you don't want to... Well, also, I don't think they affect you that much when... Like, it'll just make you sleepy. It's not like, what is it, THC or something like that.
Right.
It's not... It's
It doesn't give you a psychedelic effect or anything.
Right.
But it's, you know,
it's a part of a pot plant. So,
yeah,
let's go with that.
They started putting it, the coffee shop around the corner from my work started selling like CBD cold brew.
Yeah.
You can only get it decaffeinated.
Yeah. Because I think they are literally opposites.
Right.
At that
exactly.
Point. Yeah.
Exactly.
Here's a sedative. Let's put caffeine in it.
Right. I think it's interesting. I don't
get the whole huge, like I see it, like you said, you see it everywhere in everything.
Yeah.
So, is that going to be the new trend? I don't know.
Well, and how much of it is just like, this is big, let's try and expand our audience out to something else, you know?
True, true. And there was another thing they were talking about, how like some craft beer people are worried that they'll be competing with pot shops when it becomes legalized.
I don't see that.
I don't know. Vices are vices, and you're going to spend your money in one or the other.
Are you telling that from experience, Chris?
Yeah, I have to spend my money between my board games and my beer, obviously. Can you hear us all right?
I can.
Cool.
Nifty.
How about me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Why'd you sound like you sound like somebody from like the morning zoo right there?
The morning zoo is, how's the morning zoo different than the afternoon zoo, Steve?
There is no afternoon zoo. Like on the radio, like, you know, like the morning show of like the two dudes and like, a chick is called the morning zoo.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like visiting the zoo, and I'm like, that wouldn't work on the radio.
Well, of course it was.
Yeah.
Well, you just have to describe, Chris, describe in detail an elephant.
That's the one with the flippers. Jabs, it's good to have you on. We're excited to meet you in person at Gen Con.
Yes. I'm excited to meet you guys as well. Did you wind up getting any of the drinking events that are part of that?
The only one I got was the Death Cup at the... What's the
Ram.
Name? The Ram.
The Ram.
Yeah. So I don't know anything about it. I just know there's beer involved and it's a...
The Ram's dope.
I'm excited.
It's always busy, which is like kind of a downfall, I think. When you go there for an event, it's much more organized, you know?
Hopefully they'll have some sort of like sectioned
area. Yeah, yeah. It's sectioned off, but when like... Because like everyone goes there. Because they like take over... Like they change their menu out entirely to be like Gen Con themed.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Deep fried meeples.
Yeah. Stuff like that, you know?
I've heard about the different events. I can't say I know what the Death Cup one is. What day is that?
I believe it's Saturday. No, it's Friday. It is Friday.
It's Friday.
Friday evening. I think I got the 9 o'clock slot.
There's
another
party
thing
game, right?
That's happening there at that time called the Legendary Drunk ass. Can I say ass? Mm-hmm, yeah. Party.
Is that happening and at the same time?
I think so. I'm pretty sure it's Friday at 9 at
Bram. Oh, boy. Bram. Sweet.
So did you sign up for the wrong event? Parcel. I don't know.
I feel like I'm just going to go and experience this because I've never been to Gen Con, and I feel like it'll just have its way with me. And
this is your
first.
We'll
see what happens. Right, my first Gen Con. Yeah,
that's even sure second or something.
Yeah, this is my second.
Second.
Yeah.
So you're going to be just overwhelmed, Chris.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I only have tickets for like 4 events total.
Well, hold on. Tell Jabs about the rookie mistake that you made.
Oh, okay. So, Jabs, just to tell you, when Steven said, oh, it's not like PAX where you'll have to like kind of stand in line. You got to sign up for stuff ahead of time. I'm like, okay, let's do it. So I filled my cart with like minute by minute, never going to breathe, eat, or sleep gaming. And I look back and I'm like, oh, this is a mistake. It's also going to cost me like $3,000. So I limited it down to like under 10 and then got 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
See, I would have just submitted the whole list because you wouldn't get them all anyway.
That's true. I'll just sign up for everything. But how about you? Did you get your picks? What you,
you know,
what you wanted to get?
I didn't get nearly as much as I would have liked, but I'm kind of the guy who likes to have a lot of scheduled events. And mostly that's because I found that the vendor hall is just everyone for themselves fight to the death to try and get demos or to see anything or to actually do anything. It's really, I found, difficult.
Okay.
So having a ticket to actually go to something scheduled and here's the guy running it, it's a lot easier in my opinion. I just was able to get a couple more events. Like, I guess people have dropped out of stuff and things have come open. I know like some hotel stuff opens up and then like some other events open up.
Oh, that's good. So for the hotel ones, do you need to get tickets for those too?
Well, it depends. Okay. It depends on like what they are. Like there are certain like RPGs that like take over hotels and those are a part of Gen Con. But then certain publishers and media groups and stuff like that will do stuff outside of Gen Con, but that are at like the neighboring hotels.
Yeah. In case you don't know, pretty much every single hotel in, say, a 6-8 block radius of the hotel is going to have Gen Con stuff.
That's
almost
nuts.
Every single one.
Yeah. And you can just waltz in. Like,
do you have to waltz? I can't waltz very well. That's being 3-4. I made my second rookie mistake today, Steven. You haven't heard this yet.
Oh, Lord.
I didn't get any generic tickets.
That's fine.
Okay.
Well, that's okay.
Because you're like, oh, you should get generic tickets because they're going to ship out stuff soon. I'm like, okay, cool. 2 weeks go by and I'm like, oh, I should probably get those generic tickets. And now it's like, you can wait and will call. And you told me that's like purgatory for.
Yeah. But we'll be there Wednesday. So.
Yeah.
If you like end up feeling like you need them, we can pick them up.
Is there like just a kiosk or is everything had to be purchased ahead of time?
Well, no. So they have like the events desk, right?
Okay.
That you can go and buy stuff at. But anything that you, so like say if there's an event that comes up between now and then.
Yep.
If you buy a ticket for that event, you have to pick it up at Will Call.
And Will Call's bad.
Will Call on Thursday is bad. Will Call on Wednesday isn't the worst.
Okay.
Because they open at like 6 on Wednesday and then they're open all night.
Oh boy.
So you could roll up at 2 o'clock in the morning and pick up your stuff.
That's not how I want to spend my 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, you know, you'll be inebriated, so it'll be fine.
Oh yeah, then they'll kick me out of the hotel. I'm here for my tickets.
I think Angela, my wife, Jabs, has she's a VIG this year, so we can get generic tickets from there too.
Ooh!
So
if you, how did you swing VIG?
Very lucky in the lottery.
Yeah, they sent a lot of pictures of me.
What? No, they would have immediately disqualified.
Oh yeah, that's why I'm not literally allowed. I'm gonna go incognito.
Yeah. Is it worth it? I don't know. We'll find out. They took away a lot of the stuff for VIG this year. Like they used to have early entry. They took that away. Like there's this. It's like a networking. It's like a party. They like feed you dinner and drinks and stuff. And they shrunk that down to like it's like half the size of the total VIG population. Because every VIG gets a companion badge as well.
But you'd not now.
No, they do.
Oh
yeah,
but you only get half a dinner.
No. So it's a ticketed event.
Okay.
And I don't know the exact numbers, but say that there's 1,000 VIGs.
Uh-huh.
There's only 500 available tickets for the party.
Oh, and you had to purchase those in the thing.
Right. Well, it was free, but you still had to get a ticket.
And none of us did.
I think Angela got one, but our companion didn't.
Wait, you're not her companion?
No, I have a press badge.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But we get the swag bag still.
That's neat.
Bunch O stuff.
What kind of swag are we talking about?
So it's typically a bag. Like a swag? No.
Tell me more.
Like last year it was like a messenger bag.
Okay.
Like a nice like branded messenger bag.
Oh, not like one of those like Walmart like recyclable
grocery bags. Right. There's usually like a hoodie or a t-shirt.
Whoa, that's some intense swag.
And then board games. From
really?
From the thought? Sponsors, pins and stuff like that. Like enamel pins.
Pins are like a big thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Jabs, do you do the pin stuff?
I do not.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I never quite got the allure.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Junk to me, but.
To each their own.
They're kind of like modern stickers, I feel.
Well, I collected Pogs when I was a child, so maybe that's where they're going with it.
Well, yeah, but like. You couldn't put like Pogs on like your notebooks, right?
With tape, you could.
I was gonna say if you try hard enough.
Yeah, don't crush my dreams, Steven.
Do you have a stack of Pogs somewhere that we should know about?
No, I used to have Pog the Game at one time. Now Pog the Game is just you're playing Pogs, and they somehow suckered me into buying this plastic platform that you just play Pogs on. And that was
why
the game. I don't know. Everyone wanted it.
Does it come with like a preset stack of Pogs?
Yes, it does. Okay. Yes, and a little tube to carry your Pogs in.
Yeah, I had a bunch of those tubes. Do you remember going to like flea markets and stuff, and people would have like the gigantic like tubs of Pogs to go through?
Yeah. I never did that, but now I want to like instead of a ball pit, I want a Pog pit and just swim in them.
That sounds like asbestosis all over again.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, it'd be fun first. If we get a Gen Con thing, that'll be our event, is swimming in Pogs.
Jabs, what's your, how many, you've been to Gen Con a couple times, right?
This will be my, what year is this? 2019.
What year is it?
I think this is my fourth one.
Okay. Oh, nice.
It'd be, full con twice and just Friday last year.
Do you live near the place?
Yeah, where I'm about 2 near hours Indianapolis? North of Indianapolis.
Oh, okay, that's close.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
I don't actually know where the states are. So
well, you guys are in Virginia or West Virginia?
Virginia.
Yeah, we're okay, in Southeast so go Virginia.
Three states west, and you're in Indiana because you got to go through West Virginia, then Ohio, then Indiana.
Cool.
So you're not Chris, too far.
Chris still doesn't know what that means.
No, I know we go left. We go left.
Head towards California. You'll be all right. If you hit the Atlantic, you went the wrong way.
Oh, man. we're never going to make it. I'm so glad. I'm just going to take a bunch of melatonin and pass out the back of your car. God, I'm if so you excited. Leave me in the middle of the U.S., you'll never see me again.
Maybe that's the whole plan.
That is the plan. You know what's funny is you could drop me off just like at the edge of Virginia and I still wouldn't find my way.
How long do you have to be disappeared to be claimed dead?
With me, not long. I think with a normal person, you got like 72 hours.
Okay.
With me, they'll be like, nah, he went outside. That boy did.
Good. Your wife and I can split the life insurance money.
Dude, it's not much. It's enough to buy some Pogs.
Historically, last year, we did a good mixture of events and the convention hall, the shopping, as it were. Do you have a favorite event? Do you have something that you go to like every year to try and hit?
Not for Gen Con. Okay. That's more Origins. There's events every Origins that I like to go to. Okay. I haven't really found something at Gen Con that consistently happens and that I'm able to get in on a repeat basis.
Right.
If anything, it would be the Sun King tapping that takes place on Wednesday night, which is technically before everything starts.
That's the con beer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's exciting. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, well, we should be in town for it.
Woohoo!
That is sweet. I like Sun King's beer a lot.
I've never had any of their stuff.
Oh, really? Yeah, man, if you have the opportunity to go over to their draft room, which is probably just a quick Uber or Lyft from the convention center, definitely go check that out. I really like their tap room, and they'll have the con beer on at that tap room.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Cannot wait. Are you doing the, I know we briefly talked on email about doing that brewery tour, Madhu.
Yes. And I actually have done that one before, but they did one this year that was a distillery tour.
Oh boy.
And I didn't realize Indianapolis had enough distilleries to do, but I guess there's like four or five, and they just pop you on a bus. You go to a distillery, you drink distilled stuff.
That's pretty cool. Did you get a ticket for that?
I did. I was able That's to get exciting. In on that one. So those were like the only two events I really got in on, were the distillery tour and the drunk ass gaming night. So I guess I take what I can get.
Yeah, there you go. So I'm going to just check out the brewery's regular tours, because they have the same thing going on, like not through Gen Con, but just through their own website.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, Sun King, you mean?
Just the whoever's running the brewery tours through Gen Con, also you can get it.
Oh, from their website. Yes. Green Bus one, and I think there's another one, but the Green Bus one, whatever that one's called. Oh man. Shoot. But that one's good. I can't remember.
It was
so good. I don't.
You forgot.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I'll probably end up checking that out at some point. We'll see. We'll see where things take me.
Yeah. Who knows? The
I bet you don't have time. That's
probably fair.
Especially for a first one.
Yeah. I truly think that you're gonna get in there and it's gonna be like
I'll just stand in the lobby with my jaw dropped and be there for the whole 4 days.
pretty much. You definitely should make it a point to go to the Running of the Nerds one morning.
Okay.
At least one morning, just go and hover in the convention hall outside the doors before they open and just be a part of that.
Okay. Do you want me to be bonkers. Like in the nerds, or is this something I should see from afar?
You could be nerd adjacent. You could
be I think you should experience both. I think you should experience one where you're in and you're a part of the what I call the brisk walking of the nerds, because none of us run. Let's be honest.
The heavy breathing
Nerds. And then by the main doors, there's a second floor, and so you can stand up top and just see.
I'm gonna strap my GoPro to my
GoPro.
My GoPro. No, I'll leave that at home. I'll bring my GoPro and strap that to my chest and see where it takes me.
And yeah, I agree. Go and see it from up top. Be a part of it one time. There is no running because they really stress that.
I don't think they have to worry.
Probably not too much, but you do get some bonkers people who are
I'm sure
need to have the hotness, and they will very briskly walk.
They'll power walk cut me off. The name of this episode is going to be Nerd Adjacent. Absolutely.
Nerd Adjacent. I am totally okay with that.
That's so good.
Jabs, did you see BGG did the pre-order system for Origins, and they're doing a very similar thing for Gen Con. Did you participate in that at all?
The BGG? No. I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, so BGG did a pre-order system for all the hot games, as it were, to basically avoid the rush, right?
I didn't see that.
Huh. Yeah, so they have a preview page up. It's right on the site as soon as you pull it up, and you click on it, and then it has their usual listing of, you know, the publishers and all their games they're bringing, and then for the ones that are available for advanced sale, or the ones that'll be on sale at the show, you can pre-order them, and then you just pick them up at the show. It's basically just like reserving it for you.
Super smart. Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah, so if there's anything that you're like super looking for, it would be a good way to do it.
I have not even looked at the to be released at Gen Con list yet.
It's still early.
40 days, I think. Yeah. I think we're at 40 days.
39, but who's counting?
Apparently you.
Boy. I'm totally fine being the person who knows absolutely nothing of what's going on.
Right.
I think that pretty much sums me up anyway.
sums up your life.
Here's what I kind of realized, and I'm wondering if you guys have similar quote unquote issues, is that I've got a whole gaming library of stuff that I just haven't played in a while. Mm-hmm. I have stuff that I got never touched, or it just doesn't get played very often. And so I've been doing a thing where I just kind of pick something that I haven't touched in a while and do that. So like the new hotness isn't as big a draw for me.
I can see that.
Because yeah. I have all that stuff. And it's like, why get new stuff when I said old stuff that I haven't touched?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think for us, we're in a unique position where, you know, if we're just covering old games, then the cult of the new, as it were, won't be attracted to us. And so we try and do a good mixture of both. There are definitely games on our shelves of shame that haven't gotten played or that have gotten played once or twice. At least I typically do a culling every now and again of like games that have like repeat mechanics that I'm like, I would never play.
Why play this when this is the better iteration of it?
Exactly. So I do think that there is a problem with the cult of the new, without a doubt.
Sure. The main problem is I'm poor.
Yeah. Well, and games are getting so expensive now. You know what I mean?
No joke.
The average MSRP of a game, I think I saw, was something like $75.
Yeah, that's about right. When I go to buy a new game, I assume I'm going to be paying $60-$70.
Right.
And then you see, like, we were talking about the Metal Gear Solid games coming out, and it's like, what, $130, $140?
$139.
Yeah. It's bananas.
Yeah.
Let me guess. Minis.
Not even, like, if you
look at... They don't have minis in it?
No, they have minis. Don't get me wrong, okay. but it...
It's like a dozen.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
It's not like a CMON game where there's, you know, like 14 rolls of plastic in it. Yeah. You know, this is like, it's got like a dozen minis, and I think most of that is licensing cost.
It has to be, right?
Stuff.
I mean, anyway, hopefully it's cool. I can't wait for the footage of the gameplay to come out. But yeah. Oh, and they're getting David Hayter and Cam. They're getting the voice actors of Liquid Snake and Solid Snake to be the playtesters.
Oh, cool.
And so I'm so excited. Nice. I'm so excited for that.
That's cool.
But anywho's it's, we'll find out.
Are you, Jabs, are you typically a board gamer or an RPG-er? Or are you a mixture of both?
I do not RPG at all.
Okay,
so fair enough. So I'm a tabletop gamer by and large completely.
Awesome.
Gotcha.
What are... three games that you're like into right now? Doesn't have to be new, or maybe it is new or something you're interested in.
Oh man, you prepped me for this.
Don't tell our audience that. It makes you seem smarter.
I mean, wow, what an off the cuff question. The first thing I wanted to talk about is a game called The Adults of Carcassonne. It's an older Kickstarter that I just found out about because you asked me about events that I go to every year, and there's one of the origins called Pint and Play that is after hours on like Thursday night, and it's just a guy who hosts an event in the basement of this bar across the street from Origins called Barley's.
That's fantastic. What should we call our bar?
Barley. And I'm probably going to mention them a little bit more later. But I went down there, played a game of Splendor, which was awful, and happened to see these guys playing Carcassonne on these enlarged Carcassonne tiles, but mm-hmm. the meeples were replaced with shot glasses.
That's pretty intense.
Oh, it was great. I was like, you have my attention. I am interested. Tell me more. And the short version of the story is it plays exactly the same as base Carcassonne with, you can even have some extensions apparently, but you pour your drink, whatever it may be, into your shot glass when you place the meeple, essentially. If you're doing a farmer, you just kind of drink, I guess.
Yeah. Cause he's already on his side.
And then whoever scores it winds up drinking it. So you might drink somebody else's, whatever they're having.
Oh.
We didn't pour anything in their shot glasses, and I don't know that I ever would want to, because you're going to spill and get stuff all over the place.
Yeah,
if you do.
No joke.
But essentially,
let's go to the basement of this bar and meet a bunch of strangers and pour little drinks for each other.
Yeah. And but in short, you just kind of score, like, when you score, you just drink. And it was just goofy, silly, fun. Huh. And the guys I played it with were super nice and good to hang out with, as opposed to the guys I played Splendor with. up.
so you don't dislike the game Splinter, you dislike the clientele.
I think board gaming by and large is defined by the people who you play with.
Very true.
In a lot of cases, and yeah, they weren't great.
No, some people suck. Trainmaker comes to mind. Jesus.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh, so you're not missing much, but Trainmaker is a...
Hold up. Trainmaker itself...
Is fine.
It's a Yahtzee-esque game.
Yeah, it's Yahtzee with train parts.
Yes.
So, like, it's a press your luck, you can roll three times, make your train, choo-choo. That's it. Let's have fun and play that. There were two guys we were playing with that wanted to know every possible iteration of the rules, and we're I'm just like, this has been 20 minutes of talking. I just want to choo-choo now.
So that was one. Adults of Carcassonne. My second one to answer that question, Mountains of Madness from Yellow. Are you guys familiar with this one at all?
Is that the one with the tower with the tentacles in it that you pull out?
No,
that was a different thing.
That sounds like Kerplunk.
It is like it's Cthulhu Kerplunk.
Correct.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Wow. What was that called? Tower of Madness? Something Madness.
I think it's Tower of Madness. Mountains of Madness.
Sorry. I got the wrong structure of Madness.
So I actually have Mountains of Madness, and I have not played it yet because it requires three people. So.
It does require at least three. Definitely check it out. I'll give you the short synopsis. You're basically cooperatively working to get off of a mountain that you've crashed on. And it's crazy. Mountains of Madness. What I really like about it is you get open communication, essentially, to say, oh, I have three crates and I have four crates and we can come together and make seven. That's all fine and good. But they have madness cards in which it will tell you something that you have to do or not do during the communication part. I'm only going to give one example because if I give a whole lot, it would spoil something, I think.
Okay.
But like my very first madness card, it said, you think there's something under the table. So before you play cards, you have to look under the table.
That's fantastic. That sounds like right up my alley.
Yeah, it was just so entertaining. I played it with three complete strangers and knew nothing about what the madness cards did to you. And it was fun to sort of see what it is. Now, I think repeated plays wouldn't be as entertaining because you might know already what the madness.
Oh, okay. I can see.
Has everyone or whatever. I think the other great thing about it is the game itself will mess with you. So, for example, the ropes are yellow in color, but as you go further up the mountain, it might have the rope but in gray or in red. And then you're so used to just playing based on maybe color or type or something that you wind up throwing cards that you totally shouldn't have thrown because the game itself is messing with you.
Oh, boy. That's rough.
Yeah, and it's not easy. It wasn't easy. But, man, I had a great time with it. I came home, played it with two of my other buddies, and we just really enjoyed the heck out of it.
Yeah, that does sound pretty
cool. Rob Davio and somebody else. I can't remember.
Ugh. Is it related at all to the H.P. Lovecraft stuff, or is it just the name?
It does have some of those elements. I guess it's based off of some of the books. Not too much Cthulhu stuff, so like no, none of the Elder Ones or whatever they're called.
Mm-hmm.
But there were like Elder Signs, and there were equipment that's related to some of the stuff from the books. So it's
that's cool.
I'd say it's Lovecraft adjacent. How about that?
did you say that Rob Davio designed that?
Mountains of Madness, Davio was involved with.
Yeah, so, Chris, just in case you don't make that connection.
I don't know a lot of things.
Okay, so Rob Davio is, like, the legacy master. So he did, like, Risk Legacy, Betrayal Legacy, Pandemic Legacy. Yep. Like, he is, like, that guy. So to hear him make a non-legacy game, I'm kind of intrigued.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
Definitely check it out at some point. It's pretty fun. It would make a good one that you guys could do it like one of your game events, honestly, because it's pretty easy to teach. 3 to 5 players, runs in about an hour.
Awesome. What's your third?
Third is a game that's called Atlantis Rising from Elm Creek Games. This was a Kickstarter. I guess it was originally done forever ago, and they kind of did a second printing of it. And it's a fully cooperative sort of resource management kind of game where you're all working together to complete a series of objectives with similar resource types. And the idea of it is it's this multi-spoke modular board where at the very edges, it's easier to get resources or do the thing, but it's more likely that it will be destroyed because there's this Forbidden Island style mechanic where you flip over a card and it'll say flood the forest. And if you're on that resource, you flip the tile over and your little dude goes home empty handed.
That sucks.
So it's sort of this wild mechanic of where do I go on the spoke to get the resource? Where do I put my guys? What do we need? Mm-hmm. And then it was just wild.
That does sound cool. So are you Atlanteans in this?
Or yes.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. Because in Forbidden Island, when that shit flips, you dead.
Yeah, this is like, you're Atlanteans, you're used to the water, so if you drop off into the water, no big deal. You go home.
Okay, that's good.
And so you play this at Origins?
This was at Origins, yeah, but okay. It was a Kickstarter last year. It was supposed to fulfill any time now, but you know how Kickstarters are.
That's right. Are you still waiting on Court of the Dead, Chris?
Yeah. Well, I know it's supposed to be August sometime.
Because it's listed for sale at Gen Con.
Contact him, see, can I just like pick it up? Yeesh. Oh, well, whatevs.
Anyway, I had such a good time with that. Just one final comment on it is, oh, sure. I had to leave from the event like early, and we were one turn away from the end and one thing left to do. And I was like, I don't want to go. I want to see what happens. So the lady who was running the game was nice enough to text me after the fact and say, nope, you lost.
That's the worst text ever. Nope, you lost.
Sorry. Good. Better luck next time.
It would have been worse if they're like, oh, we would have made it if you'd stayed.
I'm really looking forward to that, though. I think it'll work really well in my game group. I love the mechanics of it. I think it's going to be big because it was just, from a co-op perspective, there was no quarterbacking. It was very work together to make this thing work.
I'll have to keep my eyes out for that. It'll be at Gen Con for sure, right? That's like
I believe so.
Yeah, it'll probably be demoed there. I don't know if it's for sale yet or not, though. Yeah.
But what kind of beer is he into?
Well, recent ones, or you want like all time?
It don't matter.
I'm really into stouts, porters, and anything dark. The darker, cool. the better. So KBS is near the top of my list. CBS is near the top of my list. Founders, easily one of my all-time favorite breweries.
Oh, absolutely.
Up there.
Kalamazoo Stouts are fantastic.
Yeah, that's a great one, too. The one I'll talk about, going back to Barley's, they do a beer for Origins every year. It's a lot like Sun King does the Gen Con beer. Barley's does one for Origins. And they did something this year called a Compassionate Dragon.
Okay.
Huh.
And it was a grapefruit sour goza that was very, very pink. And it was decent to good. Not great. Kind of just drinkable sour goza. Nothing special to report on.
Well, coming from a stout, I would imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we and you are, I mean, I don't know if you're a goza guy. I'm not. Steven is, as you may know, but I can appreciate it, but it's not going to get me excited.
It kind of depends on the goza. We have a brewery here in town, I'll pimp them a little bit, called Two Doms, and they make a key lime goza.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Is unreal.
So say the name of that brewery again.
Two Toms out of Fort Wayne,
Indiana. Gotcha. Oh, they said Two Doms, and I'm like, what's a Dom? Oh.
That's a different podcast.
That's a different podcast. Well, cool. So if you had to pick one beer that's like your all-time favorite. Ooh, that's rough. I just realized how tough that... Oh, okay. No, never mind.
It's so easy for me. And I think I had sent him a list forever ago, but it's Dogfish 120.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Cheers. That's my favorite, too. Oh, boy. It's
just one of the best beers ever.
It is. It almost goes beyond beer. It's just the nectar of the gods. That's what it is.
Yep. You get up
to I feel like I need a new mouth when I drink it.
Yeah, you need a new mouth after you drink it. Oh,
it's
cool.
It's just so much.
It's a lot. But that's why I love it.
Yeah, just dive in. You just dive in for 120. Nah. Hey, man, just give me all those hops, yeast.
No joke.
Barley and ABV. Oof.
Oh, man. Well, it's been great talking to you. We can't wait to meet you at Gen Con. We'll have to keep in touch and figure out how we're going to meet. Like, maybe we're at each end of the Running of the Nerds, and it's like a slow motion Chariots of Fire. We catch eyes, and we just... There he is.
I know that guy.
Yeah. From the interwebs. You should come check out this basement with me.
It's a scheduled ticket event.
Drink this tiny drink.
There actually is like a really cool basement bar. It's in the same place as the train station, is what they call it. It's where they do a bunch of like their larger people events. It's this really like musty, you can feel the water dripping from the walls type of bar.
It's like the Ninja Turtles lair.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But it's very cool. It's very cool.
I'd have to check it out. I'm excited to check out the Indianapolis nightlife.
There is some. Don't get me wrong. Go check out Kilroy's.
Kilroy's. I would have checked out Killer Boys, and that'd be a totally different bar. It's right next to Two Doms.
No, I really like Kilroy's. That's a college bar. They have barbecue. They have little pitchers of Long Islands, if that's your
kind of thing. That's a mistake right there. Oh, no. Well, cool. Definitely have to check that out for sure.
Yeah. Enjoy it, man. This has been entertaining. I've enjoyed talking to you guys.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on, man.
So we're going to use your voice to sign up for like weird stuff. So as long as that's cool with you, we'll
Do you need me to like give you my social security number, mother's name?
That would help.
Just to cover all the bases.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Table Hops Podcast. Be sure to visit us at tablehopspodcast.com, leave us an iTunes review, or visit us on social media at Table Hops Podcast.
Be sure to check out our videos on YouTube and email us your feedback and questions to tablehopspodcast@gmail.com.
And remember,
good beers,
good games,
great times!